Book of Romans, chapter 10.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or, who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Now the St. Paul, if you remember last chapter we read in the chapter 9, he was saying, O Lord, even the if I be cursed, I want Jewish people to be saved. Paul had the love for Jewish people. We learned many times he said, I don't want to go to Jewish people anymore. And I shake my dust, but he went to Jewish people again and again. And now here he's saying, Jewish people did not understand the plan of God. God was not going to save the mankind through the law. Law doesn't save mankind. But these people do not understand the faith in God. And how can I tell these people about the plan of salvation? And so he was saying how the faith is coming to these Jewish people or anybody. He's saying, verse 8.
But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach.
He's saying, the word of God is so close to you, in your heart, we are preaching to you, but you do not understand. What's happening, there was a spiritual blindness to the Jewish people. Did not understand, he says, it's so close to you. God gave the law, God gave the commandment. It's in front of you. It's in your heart. We are speaking about it, but you do not understand. So he said, let me tell you a little bit clearly. What he's saying? That if thou shalt confess with thine own mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So he's trying to say, you just have to believe that God sent Jesus Christ into this world. He died for you. He was buried and he's resurrected. If you just believe that simple plan of salvation, there is nothing too hard to understand. If the man realized that there was no one in this world can save us from sin, and there is no sacrifice for sin greater than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You know what the John said, John the Baptist? Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Now they knew the Lamb sacrificed for the Israeli people's sin. But the John got the revelation. He says, this is not for Israeli people alone. This lamb is going to be slain for the whole world. That was the vision. That was he saying in the spiritual eyes. He said, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He did not say, behold the Lamb of God who taketh the sin of Israel. Taking sin of the whole world. So the Paul is saying, you didn't understand yet. Just believe it in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. Verse 11.
For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him.
God is for everyone. That's what the word of God says. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's why he said, God wants to save all mankind, not Jewish only or not Gentiles only. Now there are people are prejudiced. Some people want only white people go to heaven. Some people said our Christ was black. And then other day the Korean pastor was preaching, other day he says Korean people are sending 40,000 missionary throughout the world. So he said we are the number one nation preaching the gospel to the whole world more than America. So see what I'm trying to say, each and every country and each and every person is trying to say we are the best. Doesn't matter you are Indian, you are American, you are black or you are Korean, we are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it counts. So he is saying in this verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus did not say, or Bible did not say, if the white people call upon God, then God save them. Or Indian calls, then God save them. Or the Pakistani calls, or this nation, or that nation. All nation under heaven, anyone can call upon God, and God will save them. Because God loves each and every one of us. We have to take away this prejudice and a bitterness about each other. And then only we will know the plan of God for the human race. Because we cannot pull here. He said, okay, you come to my church and you come to my denomination and this is better and that is better. Once we have the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and once you are born again, children of God, anywhere in the world you go, you will tell them about Jesus Christ and you will bring them to the salvation. And somebody starts saying to me, if you're trying to tell, go around the world and put your program in the radio and billions of people will be listening, but they won't be coming to our church. What is use of spending that much money to go there and tell them? I'm not thinking that some people will come to my church. That's the only reason I will be preaching the gospel. We are going to heaven and we want to meet these people in heaven. And so it is my job to spread the gospel to every part of the world, and I'm not narrowing the vision of God. I'm not saying Philadelphia is the only place and Philadelphia is rising sun is the only place and I'm going to stay here and I'm going to die here. That's not my vision. We took the major outreach program for the world. So the word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we have the message to the whole world. Come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God has given me grace to reach out and touch any kind or any believers, no matter what language they have, because that's what God wants. Verse 14.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
And how can the people will be preached without the preacher? So the word of God says, send them around the world to preach the gospel. So here the word of God says, you ordain the people and send them away. Tell them to go and do the Lord's work. If they are in the church, they should be united and helping the body of Christ to build the universal church. You should not be having any bitterness. So he says they should be going and preaching the gospel and giving the good tidings, good news to people. If somebody has the problem, they cannot walk, they have a problem, they have some kind of pain in their leg, I tell them, why don't you go and start preaching the word? Go house to house and tell somebody I guarantee you, your feet will be fine. The word of God says, whoever preaches the gospel, their feet will be beautiful. That means, I am going to keep you in this world. Go and preach. If your feet is beautiful, your body will be strengthened too. And you will be doing the Lord's work. So each and every organ should be dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we can function properly and more effectively. You have to say, Lord, here I am, and I dedicate my life to you. Here is my body. I give a living sacrifice to you, and use me. Let's read verse 16.
But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Paul saying, even the gospel was preached. Who heard my report? What is the report he's talking about? Isaiah says, who have heard my report? Isaiah 53, verse 1. Please read.
Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
What Isaiah was saying. Isaiah was saying, who hath believed our report? Who heard our report? What that report is? Let's read. Read up to verse 6.
For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Now, whole chapter you can read, but here he's saying in a nutshell, he's trying to say, God has a good news for you. Did you hear that report? Think about the birth of Jesus Christ. It was not easy. It was impossible. God made it possible. About his death, burial, and resurrection, it's all impossible things. God made it possible. God did all of these things. What is the report? He says he was hanging on the cross for your sickness, your disease, your pain, your suffering, your sin penalty, and all the sins, he took it on him. And so it's a good news if you believe. He took my sorrow. He took my pain. He took my death penalty. He took my disease. With his stripes, I'm healed. So each and every time you read the Word of God, you get new revelation. Bible is not a book that you read one time and throw it away. People get the storybook, they read one time and just go and get another book. The Bible is a treasure book. You keep on digging and you keep on getting more diamonds and more treasure. And he's always giving you fresh word. So he says in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He would have said just simply, faith comes by hearing. You have to keep on hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Then your faith will be strong. So that doesn't mean faith comes only by hearing. Faith comes by different ways. The disciples start saying, we don't have much faith. Teach us how we can receive the faith or how we can pray. He said, you know, when you pray, you will have faith. Whatever you are lacking, he says, ask and what? It shall be given unto you. If you are lacking faith and you say, Lord, give me faith, he's not going to say, listen to the word of God or listen to the tape, then faith will come. He said, you ask for me, I'll give it to you. So the faith can come also by asking God to give us faith, give us grace, and the faith will come from Jesus Christ. As you develop your Christian life, trusting in Jesus Christ, looking unto him, book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. What it says? Please read.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
So he said, looking unto Jesus, who is he? The author and finisher of our faith. So when we have Jesus Christ, he is the creator of faith. He invented faith. He knows what the faith life is all about. Once I have that Jesus in me, then what I have? I have faith.
Amen.
Jesus working in me. Philippians chapter 2, he says, you should have the mind of Christ. When we get the mind of Christ, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, what happens? Jesus comes to dwell in us. So we will have the mind of Christ. We will think like him, we will work like him, and we will do what he wants us to do. Why? Because we are totally sold out to Jesus Christ. When we say Jesus Christ is my Lord, what does it mean? He runs my life. I don't have any in my life. He is the leader. He is the creator of my faith. So I should not have any lacking of my faith. Some people say, I don't know how you do these things. I said, I'm not doing it. God is doing it, and I'm doing it everything by faith. So the word of God says faith comes by hearing. What we hearing? Hear the word of God. Hear the Jesus Christ. Pay attention to Jesus. Receive him as your Lord and Savior, who is the author and finisher of our faith. He will be guiding you. And then you don't have any lacking of faith. Book of Romans chapter 10 verse 18.
But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world.
Now, do you know, Paul is telling this 2,000 years ago. That time, there was no invention on how the sound carries on and things like that. Now we know, if I talk to somebody here on a cell phone, they can hear me in India, where that voice is traveling all around the world. Why? Because the satellite and things like that. But the Paul had the vision. Sound is running all over the world. That means even though you do not understand what Jesus Christ said and what I am saying, that sound is circling all over the world. And there are some scientists looking for the voice of Jesus. They're saying, we are going to find some machine can find out, detect the voice of Jesus Christ. It's running everywhere around the world. Somewhere is we're going to find. So what I'm trying to say, what we're saying is not going in vain. It will touch someone somewhere, and that voice, the word of God, will do the job. The word of God says, when I send the word, it will not come back void. It comes with a purpose. It comes with a fulfillment. So he said, this word of God is going all around the world and circling the globe. Okay, verse 19.
But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people.
What Paul is trying to say to children of Israel, he said, listen, I'm stretching my hand towards them day and night. He's talking to children of Israel. But they are not listening. He says, God is going to raise some people who are not his people. Who are those people? You and me. We are Gentiles. God has chosen us. As I said last week, St. Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, we are now peculiar people. We are God's people. But that was said to the Jewish people. But now we became. Now he says, God putting these people to jealousy. They are jealous. Why these Gentiles people are so much spiritually blessed than the Jewish people. Why? Because they are still blindness. They are not still opening their eyes and seeing what God is doing through these Christian people. Israeli people should be more than happy to open the door wide and say, okay, come on people, and teach us about Jesus Christ. We want to know about Messiah more. They are completely blinded. And that's what he says. Isaiah already said in your book. So he says this was happening because God had chosen us. And now the children of Israel are looking at that and saying, wow, why these people are so blessed? And they are jealous. Not only Israeli people, but even the angels. You see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 12, if you read, he says, even the angels are looking into what we got.
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into.
See, what he's trying to say, those people, I'm talking Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all of the prophets, they preached about Jesus Christ, not knowing. Isaiah saw the vision, crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And so he said they proclaimed the gospel, not knowing what they were preaching. And they were not preaching for themselves, but they are preaching for you and for me. So it is a glorious gospel came to us through Jesus Christ, and they even didn't know. And the Peter says, how we came to know these things, that this is the Messiah, this is the Savior, this is the plan of God, by the Holy Spirit. He says, in the day of Pentecost, when God poured the Holy Spirit on this Peter, John, and those people got the revelation, what God was saying in the Old Testament came true. And he says, what those people were preaching, they were not preaching to themselves, they were preaching to Gentiles. They were preaching to you and me. And he says, those people did not get those blessings. Here he says, even the angels are looking and a little bit jealous that what we got. Angels were created greater than a man. Man was created from the dust. The angels were have more beauty than man. But he says that angel did not get a chance what man has. What man has, can I tell you? We are the bride of Christ. Angel cannot be the bride of Christ. Old Testament people cannot be bride of Christ. So we have much more precious blessing than any Old Testament saints or any angel. So we are much more better. That's why he say angels say, wow, what you people got. That's what he's trying to say. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I'm going to finish it and start reading from verse 32.
And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth.
Now you heard these things. How much suffering they had. How wonderful and miracles and signs and wonders they did. And how much suffering they had. But see the following words.
And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not
the... received not the promise. All of this suffering, all of these trials, and did not receive the promise, what God promised them to give. Why? Because, please follow in verse.
God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
God had a plan for the Gentiles. He said, I have kept the best for you. And he said, without you, means without the church, they cannot be perfected. Now, if anyone wants to come to Jesus Christ, no matter he's a Jewish man or Gentiles, he has to come through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, I am the gate. I am the door. Come through me. If you don't come through Jesus Christ, you cannot get saved. So now it's a great plan of salvation God has given. And he says, now, without us, means without bride, they cannot be perfected. Now somebody says, all of these things people did this all in vain. No, they will be perfected, but through us. Because God has made the Gentiles as a bride. Now any Jewish person comes and become a Christian, he is also a bride. He is not going to say, because you Jew, you cannot be Christian. There are so many Jewish people coming and receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they are becoming real Christians. Some Jewish people are completely sold out to Jesus Christ. They don't call themselves Messianic Jew. They call themselves Christian. Those are the people can be bride of Christ. So the word of God is saying, we are the bride of Christ. And the Old Testament people are called what? Friend of the bride. How do you know? Because the John itself, John the Baptist itself says, there is a bride and there is a bridegroom. And I stand and listen to the bridegroom and my joy is fulfilled. So what he is trying to say, I am just a friend. I am not a bride. But there is a bride and there is a bridegroom. So we are a blessed people. People do not know this. We are better than angels. We are better than the Old Testament people. We are better than any religion in the world. So we should be thankful to God. He says, now, that's what we should be doing. We should be going and telling and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, we're going to stop. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you for Paul encouraging the Jewish believers as well as non-Jewish people. And Lord, we learn that you have given us the blessing. Even the Gentiles have become the bride of Christ. And not only Gentiles, anyone, whosoever, call upon Jesus Christ, that person will be saved. So there is no jealousy, there is no envy. But if someone have that kind of spirit, I pray that their eyes will be open and they will be opening the door for Jesus Christ in every nation and every kingdom and every places. And that Jesus will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Lord, we believe that you are coming very soon and we are preparing the way for you to come. And your word says we can hasten your coming. Only way we can do, preaching the gospel throughout the world. Give us grace to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.